It would behoove this panel to take notice what is happening on a national, international level regarding these issues, that the continuation of outfalls and dumping sewage into the ocean is not going to be something that's going to be viable anymore. And the panel should seriously consider moving the wastewater treatment plant. One of the major issues that we have in Morro Bay is all of Cayucas' sewage gets pumped to Morro Bay raw and is affecting the Morro Basin aquifer. New evidence since our report came out in 2008, the nitrate study issues and concerns shows that the nitrates are not coming from the farmers, but are more likely coming from sewage. And the issue of the Morro Basin aquifer nitrates being blamed on the farmers is not likely. And the state agencies that are US EPA, Cal EPA, are looking into this matter. And it would be advisable if this panel starts taking that issue seriously and really consider start moving forward and moving this wastewater treatment plant off the beach.
Anyone else? Seeing none, Rob Schultz, could I ask you to come up to the microphone, please? Cayucas recently asked you to respond to some news that in your response you explained was misquoted, and we would like to apologize to you and present you with this shirt. So you might want to take a look at that.
Perhaps you'd like to read the shirt for us, Rob, so people aren't curious.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will be misquoted and used against you. Thank you.
And with that in mind, we won't be bothering you again. Thank you very much. Okay, next item, consent calendar.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. A2.
Thank you. A2, just a couple questions for Mr. Keough. On page 4 of the April report, operations report, there's some discussion about the composting operation and termination of the permit. And then following, I think on page 10, that CalRecycle and their representative have followed through with the termination of the composting operation permit. And my question's not as much about that as what it would look like in a scenario where we are interested in starting the composting operation again. How much weight does our past experience carry? And do you see any problems if it looks like we define a project that has room and ability for a composting operation for the biosolids to continue or to resume?
There's no problem. The reason we terminated the permit is there's a financial fee that's associated with it because we have quarterly inspections, and we decided to terminate the permit, but CalRecycle, as they're now known, they used to be the California Integrated Waste Management Board, was very happy with the operation that we performed down there. We never had any issues with them. The site was well planned out, and I think we would certainly have to provide the same regulatory requirements that we have now, but we know how to do it. We know how to put the program together. It would be fairly easy to restart that program.
Okay. Good to hear. Thank you. With that, I'll move approval of A2.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0.
Okay, old business, item B1. Status report on the upgrade project. Dennis?
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members and Mr. President and Board members. During the past month, major activity was involved with the substantial issue studies. The public comment period was closed on July 15th, and numerous comments were received, and they have been compiled. And I would like to note that topical responses to all of the public comments that were received will be provided in an appendix to the Rough Screening Alternative Sites Evaluation Report. DUDEC has submitted to staff and myself for review and comment the preliminary template for the Rough Screening Alternative Sites Evaluation. We have reviewed that and returned our comments to DUDEC. And now DUDEC is in the midst of the technical analysis of the substantial issue studies that were identified by the California Coastal Commission staff. Looking ahead, we do have a meeting scheduled for August 25th up in Santa Cruz with the Coastal Commission staff. The meeting will be attended by DUDEC, Morro Bay and Cayucas staff, and myself. And looking ahead also, we're planning on having the rough draft of the screening alternative sites evaluation at the next JPA meeting, which is scheduled for September 8th, for the September 8th JPA meeting. That concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Mayor Yates.
Questions for Dennis? Start with Nancy.
No.
Carla?
No. Yes, thank you. Just one, a little more detail. We have the draft rough screening for the alternative sites coming back or tentatively for the September 6th or 8th meeting, excuse me. What do you anticipate to be the comment period or process for the draft?
We are targeting to release the draft report on September 1st to the public. And, of course, to the City Council and to the District Board. Hopefully this will give everyone an opportunity to have the opportunity to review the draft report and be prepared for the September 8th JPA meeting, at which time the City Council and the District Board will offer any comments and, of course, invite comments from the public on the draft report.
And at that point, what are the next steps?
Well, of course, prior to that, as I mentioned, the meeting with the Coastal Commission staff is important for all of us to be able to get feedback from the Coastal Commission staff on our preliminary approach to the report. Currently, the report is approximately 70 pages long, but it's going to be much longer than that by the time it gets done.
Electronically? With our agendas for the 8th, then?
That's the plan, and hopefully things will go smooth between now and then. It's a very thorough and technical analysis, so that's what we're targeting right now is September 1st.
Okay. What did you think about the draft so far? You don't have to answer that. I was just kidding.
Cayucas, any comments, questions of Dennis?
Dennis, I notice on your recap of your billings, you have a billing amount of $29,849.74 from MWH, and that was, you have 5/20/11, and footnoted is an explanation that that's for services rendered from January 1st to January 28th of 11. I guess I'm wondering why it is that they're so delinquent in submitting their invoices, and if that presents a problem to you in reviewing whether the invoice is correct and whether the billing is correct, since it's such a lag time.
I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty hearing you.
Okay. On the page 3.
Yes.
Third line?
Yes.
Most recent billing, $29,849.74.
Yes.
5/20/11.
Yes.
And then the footnote is, the invoice is for services rendered 1/1/11 through 1/28/11.
Yes.
Does that lag time in them submitting their invoices make it more difficult for you to review whether that, whether the invoice is correct?
Yes, I see what you're saying. It, the billing date was in May and for work done in January. I agree. But it was checked by staff and by myself, and it was felt that it was accurate for the services that were identified in, on that invoice. So we were able to verify based upon our knowledge of the project and our file notes.
Okay.
Okay. If there are no more questions, then we'll continue to...
I'm sorry. Is there a question here? Yes, please. I'm sorry. I know I'm out of turn.
You know, I apologize, Carla, but he got in before you. Do you want to pass it on, Carla?
Thank you. I had a question also, Mr. Delzite, on right below the MWH billing, the McCabe & Company contract, the third line down for the invoice on 6/3. It, in the reference down there, it says prorated fee from March 22nd to 31st. So I'm a little confused if we're paying, if our contract agreement was $12,500 a month, that's only 9 days. So I'm not sure why we are paying the $12,500 a month, because that would have been when we just started contracting with her or with their company. So why are we being billed the whole month plus the other $4,000?
The billing, frankly, was a bit awkward. We commented among ourselves as well. But when we checked the number of months and the remaining days that she was on board under contract, the calculations we checked and then cross-checked, and they all came out accurate in terms of what her billing was. What she did was she had failed to bill between March 22nd and 31st on a prior month's bill is when it should have been billed, but it wasn't. And so she billed it later on the invoice dated June 3rd, 2011. It all checks out, but it, we had the same consternation in looking at it, but we double-checked and it checks out.
Okay, but then, so my question still then is that is the June 3rd invoice for 9 days that we're being billed from March? What other part of a month did, was it, it wasn't billed in April? So she billed us in March, but I'm still seeing, based on the notations here, that it's for 9 days. Am I not understanding that correctly?
The invoice for June 3rd covered the month of May. The full month, that's the $12,500. Her rate is $12,500 flat rate per month. And then in addition to that, as footnote 4 says, she also...
I'm not sure why we were billed the $12,500 for the month of, for a month of June when we didn't use her services that whole month. So, yes.
You know, I think if you look at the invoice date of 6/3, I think you're actually seeing that as the invoice for the month of May. We can triple check that, but I think what you're seeing there is that the invoice for 4/11 covers March, the invoice for 5/3 covers April, invoice 6/3 covers May, and then we suspended the contract at the end of May.
And I would agree with that, but then that wouldn't make any sense why we're being billed for part of March if the April invoice was for March. If you back each one up a month, then the first invoice for 4/11 would be for March, and we're being prorated for March the last week. So that's why it didn't make any sense.
That's a good question. We can look at the invoices and get you an answer.
Yeah, I think the best way, because it's without the invoices in front of us, because we discussed this among ourselves and said this really looks like an awkward way to bill, and but Again, we checked the math, it worked out. So I think what we're going to have to do is put a memo together and attach the invoices to it to show you how it all came out.
That would help. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Next item will be consideration to adopt the fiscal year wastewater treatment plant budget. Is it my understanding that Morro Bay has already done this?
No.
No? Okay.
You have done it.
Lewis, would you like to...
I'm only the mayor. We did this?
We talked about the entire year budget, yes.
It's part of the entire year budget. I remember now.
Okay, Lewis?
Lewis Brookins, Admin Officer, Cayuga Sanitary District. I just wanted to say I took a look at the budget. It's very similar to last year. It's a very flat budget. When you take a look at it, it's less than 1% change, and that's where we were at last year. So Bruce has been doing a good job of deferring maintenance on some of these things that we had, like with the Cannon study and other things, since we changed the whole direction we were going. So we've avoided adding some additional costs that we were projecting into the future. Overall, I wrote a small memo for you guys to review. I kind of looked at each section, and it seemed very solid to me. So,
all right. Does anyone from Cayucas have questions that perhaps Lewis could answer?
I have one
question. Sure.
This goes back to the McCabe. I just heard Bruce say that it was suspended as of May 31st or May 30th, and yet in this it says that it was suspended on May 1st. So which is the proper date?
I'll have to go back and look at that one in particular to see. I have all the invoices and the contract at the office, so I can take a look
right at
that and get back to you on that.
Okay. Well, we ought to be consistent there. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Motion would be in order for approval of the wastewater treatment plant budget for the fiscal year 2011-2012.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions, comments?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. I still am... in discussion on the relative merits of the flood and earthquake insurance amount, which is, it's material. It's gone down $10,000, but it's $170,000 a year. I assume that that's been renewed. I believe that policy period is from July 1 to June 30th. But subject to that and being able to present back to the JPA a little bit more analysis, I'm fine with the other items in the budget.
Okay. Would you like to see that put on a future agenda then?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
I'll notify you when. We're gathering information. And
all right. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Excuse me, aye.
4-0, motion carries. Thank you. Next item, discussion and consideration of a proposal from Central Coast Water Treatment, Culligan Industrial. I'd like to welcome Rob and Harvey. Good to see you guys. Bruce, do you want to introduce us to this?
Yeah, I'd like to. We recently have been in front of you tonight. We have looked at their past historical volumes and what they're putting in the outfall at Oceano. They're averaging about 30,000 gallons a month. I think it's actually 32,000 gallons a month. They had a permit with South Coast Sanitation that regulated both what they put into the outfall, testing and monitoring requirements, indemnification language, ability to revoke the permit as required. I made some inquiries with regional board staff as to what they would feel about brine disposal through the outfall for the city of Morro Bay and the sanitary district's outfall. They were very positive about it. Actually, they salt loading or salt net management plans are becoming a big issue in not only in our basin but all over the state of California. And they feel that the ocean outfalls that are in place now provide good conduits for disposal of that brine. They, in discussions with regional board staff, if the board and council approve of this concept in general, we would notify regional board staff by letter. We would have a discussion with them, and they have indicated they could amend our NPDES discharge permit administratively, provided that the quantities of brine weren't too large. I've also spoken at staff at Monterey Regional Water Pollution Control Agency, and they provide a very similar service to all of the water softening and salt generators in their region. So they take it both from within their region and outside their region, and I put some. They have a varying scale depending on what you're bringing to them. My recommendation would be that if you approve of this concept, we would move forward and go to regional board staff, and at the same time we would start to generate a discharge permit that would be very similar to the one that's included in this packet that was generated by South Coast Sanitation. I don't think there's a real need to reinvent the wheel on this one. The fee I have recommended in here would be 7 cents a gallon. They were paying considerably less at Oceano. But I kind of modeled the fee program for the city and the district more on that of what Monterey Regional is doing right now. They're 4 cents per gallon if you're within their service region. You're 7 cents a gallon if you're outside their service region. So my recommendation would be at this point that we would look at 7 cents a gallon if the district and the city agree to that concept. In terms of what it would mean for the treatment plant, I think expenses would be very minimal. We would have to plumb in a discharge line into the outfall, which would be a fairly simple operation. We've kind of just gone through it in our heads and decided kind of where we would do it and how we would do it. In terms of, and that could all be accomplished by in-house staff probably in a day's time period, two guys, maybe half a day. In terms of the monitoring costs, most of that would be borne by Culligan. We would be running pH and conductivity on the loads that come into the plant, but that's a very simple thing for our lab staff to accomplish. pH meter's already on, conductivity meter's easy to fire up. So I think in terms of actual expense, I think it's not a big issue in terms of time and money for city staff. In terms of revenues generated, my recommendation would be that it would be a cost split based on capacity ownership in the outfall, and I put in here that it would be a 65-35 split for the city and the district. And certainly that's the council and the board can certainly come to some agreement. You know, if they want to make some other arrangement, they can certainly do so. And with that, I would say I'd open it up for questions.
Could before we do that, could I ask RB or Rob, would you like to make a comment here at this time?
Good evening. My name is RB Kitzman, and this for clarification, this is not the Culligan operation located in Morro Bay. This operation is industrial, commercial in nature. And the plant is located on Huber Street in Grover Beach. We established the business in 1985 to fill the needs of commercial. The main thing that we're dealing with here is the regeneration of not necessarily water softeners, but deionization cartridges that we take out to commercial establishments. We got a lot of labs and factories, different things like that, that need really high quality water. This is the regeneration. I don't know if you have any questions that you would like to address to me.
Why don't we hold that for a moment, Arby, and I'll turn it over to the mayor and see if Morro Bay has questions first, and if they want you to come back up, we'll ask you to.
Okay, Morro Bay, questions for Bruce or Arby? No?
Yes, thank you. I guess my first question would be to Bruce, and obviously water reclamation is part of our future, and we have an unknown, many unknowns, I guess, at this point about our future, pending our permits and so on with the upgrade or the new plant. So what would this have as far as impacts to our potential for reclamation? How does this play into that whole equation, and is it possible that we could be introducing something new at a time where we're trying to really get a firm foundation on what it is that we're trying to do into the future? Is this tough timing because of our process?
No, I think I probably didn't explain it very well. The idea, the concept is that we're not putting brine into the treatment plant. We couldn't take that much salt into the treatment plant in those loads directly at the headworks. The idea is that we would introduce the brine solution after the chlorine contact tank and before it enters the outfall. So when one of the issues that Regional Board has with all the permits is they want the effluent to be commingled. So they don't want you to sample only wastewater treatment plant effluent if you're putting brine in there. They want those two constituents to mix before sampling. So we have a location at the end of the chlorine contact tank. There's a weir. There's approximately 5 feet where the water falls, goes into the outfall, and we could easily plumb a pipe in at that point and introduce it. So the brine would actually mix with the effluent as it's leaving the plant. Any water reclamation that you would do, you would scalp ahead of that process. So really, you're not the salt loading that you put in there would not impact your ability to reclaim water.
Well, I guess my question is, though, understanding that salts are a challenge in a reclamation project as well, what does this look like as we start to try to remove the best components of our flow for reclamation and increase potentially the concentration of salts in our effluent in the short term as we're using the outfall? How does that start to balance out? And I guess I found myself intrigued as I was reading the report about what they're doing in the Monterey Bay area with these on-site storage ponds and then disposal of brine to landfill as a method. You know, if you could speak to that.
Yeah,
that would be
helpful. A good question. One of the issues you have is when the effluent goes out in the ocean, it is discharged through a series of diffusers. And so they model the oceanic conditions around the outfall. They put that into a mathematical model, and they can tell you what the dilution ratio is for your effluent. In our case, it's 133:1. That's the minimum initial dilution that we would see at the outfall. Part of your dilution is accomplished through buoyancy. So by adding salt, the water becomes slightly less buoyant, so you lose a little bit of mixing. In the case of the proposal you're looking at tonight, the Oceano permit allows them to have 50,000 gallons a day, discharge 50,000 gallons a day of brine. I actually put a limit of 50,000 gallons a month. So it's more than likely we might see one truckload a week, maybe two truckloads a week. In limited quantity like that, it's probably not a big deal. And Regional Board was very blunt about this and said, you know, if you're going to get into discharging, a good example would be if we tied the desal into the outfall. At that point in time, you would actually have to remodel your dilution ratios to make sure you're not impacting the dilution ratios kind of set the numeric standards for your permit. So you would remodel that and make sure that you're not impacting the dilution ratios. In the case of Monterey, interestingly enough, in some ways, depending on your point of view, they were too successful. They have a very large water reclamation program. I think Roger Briggs said somewhere on the order of 75% of their water can go to ag irrigation because they have a lot of artichokes in that area. they went after, they started a salt management program in their area, partly because it was mandated by regional board, but also because they wanted to maximize their reclamation potentials, and salt is a big deal for them. It's a big deal for everybody. The program was so successful that in order to get the dilution ratios we're talking about, they actually had to pull some of the water back from the tertiary side and blend it with.
It appears that there will be potentially future interest in other salt producers for disposal. And so I guess I'm trying to understand how we could make this decision now and anticipate future proposals, and then also try to balance that with our choices with the wastewater treatment plant renovation or upgrade or the new project. So
yeah, I can fully understand your concerns. I think I kind of look at this as a pilot, and the quantities that the, you know, this is for one, this permit would be issued to the Culligan facility in Arroyo Grande. It wouldn't be transferable, it wouldn't be, and I think we would look at how, what the success of that program is. We would potentially look at, you know, if there's other Culligan dealers or people that have salt disposal needs, as those needs arose, we would have to tackle each one of those, I think, kind of separately as we move forward. So I kind of saw this as more of a sort of like a pilot project to see how it would work, see if it's successful, and then move on from there. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I guess I'm probably trying to reach too far into our final design choices for the wastewater treatment plant side and potential reclamation and how all of that could work together. And, you know, our choice is to try to pull salts out of our stream for reclamation.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I think this permit will be revocable. So if you had a local, you know, I think we're going to have a discussion with Culligan at some point in the future about the fact that they discharge salts into the sewer at this time. And certainly that has a potential to impact our ability to reclimate water along with other sources. We don't have an ordinance right now controlling the discharge of salts into the sewer system. And Rob and I have had this discussion, and it's probably coming in the near future, I would imagine, that we will start to want to have more control over that as we move into the water reclamation end of it.
Okay. Then shifting a little bit, I hear that this is coming from an industrial use in the South County, and obviously there will be some testing involved with that, but I also understand that some of the testing that people would be interested in, such as emerging contaminants and so on, pharmaceuticals, I don't know exactly where the sources of this could be coming from. It sounds like it would be dispersed through multiple labs and so on. And my concern would be that we'd be introducing something from outside of Morro Bay or Cayucas, discharging into our coastal waters here, and losing some control and exposing ourselves to increased risk, not because there's an intent to do it, but because we just don't have the resources to test, perhaps, for some things that may be of concern.
Arby can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is that they are taking potable water and deionizing it. And so what you're doing is basically pulling the salts out of a potable water system. So they do test for metals. That's part of the permit they have now, because there's a copper tends to leach into systems sometimes out of the copper pipes. But really, it's no different than taking the salt out of this bottle right here, and then they're concentrating it.
Yeah.
So if those emerging contaminants are in here, then, you know, I think it's a fairly, from my standpoint, it's a fairly benign substance of discharge. And I wouldn't worry about as much as the emerging contaminants as I would about the effects upon our dilution ratio and how it impacts the permit for the treatment plant. That was really where my concerns lay.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Any questions from Cayucas?
I guess I have one. Are we looking at this as a maybe adopting this as a backup plan for or as a primary discharge source for your operations?
This would probably be something that we would use on a temporary basis. Currently, it looks like, and of course, Bruce, you probably know more about than I do, South County, the Oceano District, from what I understand, our plant manager couldn't be here tonight, but I understand that we're very close to getting the permit renewed to be able to discharge at Oceano. So that would be our primary location to discharge. What we're hoping to do is establish a secondary, and we could also establish, and Mr. Smekler, obviously, as Bruce said, we would like to have a backup. We can always set it up so that even if we are dumping, say, on a regular basis to Oceano, if we wanted to have a certain number of loads, that can also be worked out.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Bruce, I just would like to comment, since we probably are a secondary source, that in looking at a fair rate system, there should be some fixed amount as a standby fee or some guaranteed minimum, because the service that we are providing is mainly to have a plan B in the event that Oceano doesn't work out, which is logical since that's the closest outfall to the plan.
Yeah.
Okay, Mary Yates, your side had another question.
Yeah, Mr. Kitzman, I understand your history in our community and that you have grandchildren that surf in our waters and so on, so I trust your integrity, but I also understand that this is somewhat of a foundational agreement that could be then applied to other brine developers or creators. And my concern is when I hear you say that you guys pull your own sample and then send that to the lab to get tested, we hear a lot throughout the country about challenges with that, where communities depend on quality information. So
on honesty.
yeah, and I'm not saying that has anything. That's a problem here, knowing your history. But my concern would be that we're establishing something here in the beginning, and I'm wondering if there's anything that we can do to take that out of the equation as a concern.
Okay. Well, each sample that we draw at our plant before we load it in the truck and take it out, when it's taken out to the Oceano plant, they take a sample there also before it's dumped out of the truck.
Okay.
So everything's logged. They take their own samples too to make sure that we meet the criteria.
Okay. And then as far as charge, I would guess that'd be something we'd discuss tonight for fees. You're getting charged 15 cents in Santa Paula. What was the rate for Oceano? Is 47
about
cents?
1.1 or 0.1. I forget. It's pretty low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is low.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering, you've seen Bruce has proposed a certain number. I think it was 7 cents. How are you feeling about that number? Is that something that, if it were to go up or down, is that going to change things considerably? I understand Santa Paula is obviously more expensive than anything we're seeing, and even in Monterey, but what are those numbers looking to you? And
well, to be honest, we really haven't really worked out the numbers, because we got Mr. Keogh's letter, and, of course, he had the 4 cents for inside the area and 7 for outside the area, but we hadn't really discussed that. I made the assumption that we would probably just sit down and start talking about those kind of issues if you decide, to move ahead.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Staff's recommendation is that we approve the brine disposal concept. Direct staff to notify regional...
I'd like to make a comment on this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I completed the permittee writing course for NPDES that was supported by the United States Environmental Protection Agency Office of Water, and I'm putting you on notice that you'll be in violation of your NPDES permit. It is a requirement that you have a NPDES permit for this kind of discharge, and you'll be violating your current NPDES permit. You do not have the authority, neither does the Roger Briggs or Harvey Packard at the Central Coast Regional Water Board have the authority to administratively modify that permit. Another thing that is necessary for this action is a coastal development permit that will have to be vented through the California Coastal Commission. And if this board approves this, they'll be complicit with this action.
Mr. Schultz, would you like to comment?
Only just to say we'll make certain that the Regional Water Quality Control Board will follow their regulations and go through whatever we need to do based on your decision. I mean, you know, the rules are the rules, and we'll follow them. And we'll check to see if we need EPA's occurrence. We will obtain that.
Also, the Estero Bay that has the biggest trouble with deaths with sea otter. And I don't know that this impacts that. I don't know that. But it seems to me there's some wildlife information that needs to be vetted in some way, either with the National Estuary Program or with the Cal EPA.
Marla?
Marla Debreton, North Morro Bay. This is really pretty disappointing that you would expect that you would have this meeting and go into all these agreements between Bruce and Culligan and the regional board. I also completed a course for MPDS permit writing program in 2006. Went to Philadelphia. Anyway, I mean, it's pretty basic. Who needs an MPDS permit? All point source discharging pollutants into waters of the U.S. must obtain an MPDS permit from EPA or an approved state. What you would be doing if you don't go that process, CWA classes of pollutants, toxic, priority pollutants, CWA 307A, heavy metals, copper, lead, zinc, nickel, chromium, et al., organic chemicals, benzene, 1,2-dichlorobenzene, carbon tetrachloride, etc. I find it mind-boggling, and in addition to the fact that we are in complete limbo about what our wastewater treatment plant is going to be like, whether we're going to be reclaiming water, whether we're going to be using that outfall. Doing something like this, saying it's a revocable permit, it also sets a precedent that says that we're going to use our outfalls for discharge of brine. Now, piggybacking desal plants onto power plants is something that cannot occur. They've shut down Poseidon in Newport. It's not going to happen, folks, and I don't know why we would. For what would we do this? If it's preliminary, temporary, and Oceano is getting on board to take this, then these gentlemen can use Santa Paula. Why would we, in the precarious state that we are in our cities, do a pilot project on brine? Please don't go forward with this. And if you do, there's going to be a lot of people informed about it. It's already happening. So if you want to be part of that complicitness and take the responsibility, I wouldn't if I were sitting up there. Thank you.
Thank you, Marla. All right. Having heard public comment, are there any comments from Morro Bay?
Uh,
My comments would be that I would want to see a response from the EPA, their comments about this, just because it's pretty obvious that they're going to be informed about this anyway, and we need to cover ourselves and make sure that we keep good relations on that end. So anything that would happen would need to be pending EPA's comment and approval. So that's my comment. Then I guess to have a very clear range of dates, so it's obvious that this is a special relationship with one discharger, and making sure that we're not actually creating a place where it seems an invitation to others to join in, and that we're open for business for brine disposal at this point beyond this one contract.
I have no problem with this. We're taking water that's up to twice as salty as ocean water, and what happens when you put that in the ocean? It's ocean water. I hear your comments, Richard and Marla, and you know we have to depend on our staff and our legal staff and staff to navigate these regulatory agencies, and I understand that not everybody has the same faith that I do in them, but I do, and I'm going to count on them to keep everybody out of trouble. I think it's a great thing, and I'm happy to support Culligan Water and this. It's, to me, this is
what we need to do.
Yeah, that would be just fine, because I think the first step is if you had rejected this concept outright, it would be dead tonight. If you approve of the global concept for this one discharger, my next step is really to sit down with regional board and see what those steps would entail. And I can pretty much guarantee that due to the nature of our current permit, the controversy that surrounded it, any administrative process that would occur to our permit or any amendment to our permit would probably, I'm going to say at this point 99.9% sure, would run through US EPA at the same time, because unlike most NPDES discharge permits in the state right now, 301Hs take both US EPA and regional board approval. The EPA may grant the regional board the power to administratively alter our permit, or they may make us go through a formal hearing. But the next step is really to sit down with staff at regional board and explore that concept. And it would certainly come back to the boards once that information is brought out.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
I'd like to make a comment. Bruce, I commend you for looking at a way to bring potentially a source of revenue to the treatment agency, and I think that that's a good idea. I am a little concerned that we are providing this for private business with no assurance that as we've talked here, that we will recover those costs. And I support moving forward, but I think there should be some kind of a cap on how much staff time or how much expense we want to front into this without any kind of a commitment to have that this is going to generate revenue.
Do you want to respond to that, Bruce?
I can certainly understand the concerns, because we could expend a considerable amount of time and end up going nowhere. So if there's, I don't know at this point really how to put a limit on it, but I can certainly say that I will try and be as expedient as possible in my discussions with regional board staff. And, I can certainly bring this item back at the next meeting. I can have preliminary discussions with regional board staff and say, hey, what are we really looking at doing here? I've had other issues in the past. on monitoring-related questions. Some of them are really easy, and some of them are tremendously difficult. So regional board staff can give me an idea of what sort of effort it's going to take to amend the permit.
All right, any other discussion from Cayucas? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries 4-0. Mayor Yates.
More of a same motion. Can somebody make it?
Sure. Second the...
So moved.
So moved. Thank you.
And a second, please.
Second.
Thank you, Nancy. Any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
I just would, I guess, based on that discussion, just would want to clarify then that this will be back to us at the next meeting with more information before we move forward.
That's correct. I will contact regional board staff tomorrow and see if I can't set something up. And depending on when we meet, I will bring it back at the first available meeting. But I'm pretty confident I can give you some sort of answers at the September meeting.
Thank you.
And Bruce, we're not going to do anything illegal?
No, I'm not planning on doing anything illegal. If whatever regional board, you know, regional board's going to look at it, and they told me, and Monterey has gone through this process. I don't know what legal process they had to go through to amend their permit, but they are discharging or were discharging a volume of brine that had the potential to impact the dilution ratios of their discharge, and that's a very big deal for the local regional board. And that's part of the reason they had to start to split the brine into the sludge drying beds and concentrate it there, because they were having issues there. But in this case, with the volume that we're talking about here, Oceano, like I said earlier, I think you could discharge 50,000 gallons a day of brine. I'm limiting it to 50,000 a month, thinking that that severely minimizes the impact. And I would also put a time frame on it, so that if we were to put it in the outfall, we would do it probably between 10 and 2:30. It's our maximum flow rate. You're getting maximum dilution. We'll try and, like...
Good luck.
Very good. Thank you very much, and thank everyone for coming tonight.
The next GPE is going...